not always raining. There'll be days like this when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is KVEC News Talk Radio, the Dave Congleton Show. I am very lucky to be sitting in Dave's chair today, getting to guest host once again, and have the esteemed producer Craig here with us with his always good choice of music. And I'm sitting here with a guest today who will talk about a book that she's written. And today's show, we're going to have a couple of different angles on coming into the holidays. The first part is going to be talking about how you deal with loss during the holiday season, which is always significant for some of us. And in the second half of the show, or the last 2 hours, we've got my buddy Dave Story coming in, another friend of mine, Bill McCarthy, and we're going to have fun basically talking about what happens when you go home in this very divisive time to sit around that table and talk to the curmudgeonly ones or the tree huggers or whatever. We're gonna have fun and try to make light and enjoy some humor around what we need to do when we get together with family in these times. So we're gonna start off with Nancy Ballinger, who is a retired licensed marriage and family therapist, and she, along with her associates Marcy Adams and Julie Frankel, who did the illustrations for a children's book called Two Brave Cubs. And Two Brave Cubs is about finding help when children grieve. And as we go into the holidays, some of us have losses that we think very poignantly about during this time. I myself had a son who passed a number of years ago, and you can't help but think about those people and wish they were there around the tree or the table or whatever. So first of all, let me welcome Nancy Ballinger. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, nice to have you on the show today. So you've written this book, Two Brave Cubs.
I did. It turns out that for many, many years, I was looking for this very book as a therapist, as a grandma, as a mom, and there was never a book that I felt really dealt with the reality of the loss that children go through. And so in my 70th year, I decided I'm just going to write it.
Well, what's the backstory, Nancy? I mean, why you? Why is this subject fascinating to you? What experience do you have to come into this?
Long time ago, I worked for the Army, and I've worked with various agencies. I worked with what was then AIDS Support Network. I've worked with chemical dependency programs. But most recently, 25 years ago, before I retired, I worked with Hospice SLO, and I had the honor of being the children's bereavement counselor there for 4 years.
Oh.
Yeah, it was such wonderful, wonderful work.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that it's wonderful work. Mm-hmm. I mean, on one hand, one would think how nice to be able to bring some comfort and help people through some tough times. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you know, dealing with loss, especially when it comes to children, must be a heavy toll. I mean, how did you go home at night? Or did you go home at night feeling restored? Did you go home at night feeling heavy?
Mm-hmm. Both.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Because I was so impressed and taught by the children that I worked with. They had, like you said, they appear to have a lot of resilience. They appear to have a lot of being able to deal with whatever is thrown at them. And yet what I learned, Bill, is that they have very deep emotions, whether they're 4 years old or 10 years old or teenagers. They have really deep emotions that most adults don't really give them credit for having. And so they talk around them, they talk over them. So I was inspired by working with them, and sometimes my heart was just broken open by the kinds of things little kids have to deal with.
Well, as I lost a son a number of years ago when he was only 2.5.
Yeah.
And of course, that was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And one of the things that I experienced as the father of a child that was lost is that death, especially untimely death or awkward or awkward's not really the right word, is it? But, you know, an untimely death, most people are very uncomfortable with the level of grief that they feel coming from somebody and tend to like to change the subject or tend to like to say, well, it's God's will or they're in a better place or you know, I'm sorry, or, you know, and they want to get away from that because it's too uncomfortable for them.
Right.
So in a child's case, that must be doubly difficult because they probably don't have the tools
right.
in which to express
right.
themselves. And they are, as you said, so resilient that oftentimes they may be playing mm-hmm. and they seem like they're playing normally with all the other kids.
Right.
So how do you determine when one of those children is suffering, and how do you know when is the appropriate time to counsel them or to give them some help?
I think for most of us, just sitting down with them and letting them know that we really care about them and we really love them and we're interested in how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just research shows that the most helpful thing that we as adults can do with children is just let them know that we're there for them and that we love them. And so we can say, how has your week been, or how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then let them take the conversation over, because I think we know what they're thinking, but we very seldom do. So what I learned as a counselor, I was a bereavement counselor for those years, and what I learned is that children are very willing and very open to talking with you, but then, like you said, they may want to run out and play with the other kids for a little while. So that's one of the things that makes them different from adults, is adults, as you know, their grief is sustained and consistent for a long time. But with children, they have, again, this very deep feeling of grief. But then they, just because of the nature of being a child, they slip out of it and then they come back into it. And what they need when they come back to it is us. Is us being willing to be there.
Do you think that, and I'm talking about children,
right.
you know, do you think that they heal emotionally as rapidly as they might heal, you know, physically? Like my son broke his collarbone mm-hmm. in, you know, 6 days. He was running around mm-hmm. like nothing ever happened. If mm-hmm. that happened to you or I, we'd be sore for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different process or timeline for children when they're grieving?
I think it's the flip of that.
Okay.
I think children grieve for the rest of their life when they lose a parent.
Because it or scars them.
Yeah, and they have their graduation from high school and mom's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And they get married and dad's not there to give them away. And they can only process so much when they're children. I've had friends of mine who had a parent die when they were kids
mm-hmm.
and they read the book and they said that they learned from it so much because they didn't realize that their dad, who wasn't there for them when they lost their mom, was going through his own grief. And so as children, we have so few people. You know, when you're a teenager, you've got all your buds.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an adult, hopefully you've got friends that are there for you. But as a child, there aren't that many adults that we have in our life.
Well, so let me ask you some specifics about this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to draw on my own experience because that's what we all do, right?
Right.
I lost a son.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges was that my wife and I were the only people on the planet
yeah.
that understood the depth of that loss, and it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
One of the challenges is, though, is that the body goes into shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes into a shock, and it doles out to you what pain you can take at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about self-medicating. I'm just talking about the natural
right.
healing response of the body is to
mm-hmm.
go into shock
mm-hmm.
and preserve your well-being
right.
for another couple of hours, and then another wave of grief
mm-hmm.
comes in. The challenge that we had in our marriage, and I think that most people do, which is why 75% of people that go through the loss of a child
mm-hmm.
end up in divorce,
right.
is that those waves come at different times. So, like, for example, I might be in a real grief moment where my body is letting me process this,
mm-hmm.
and my wife might have been having a moment of heat, of just reserve, of being in shock, and not being willing or able to go there at that moment. So in your book, when you're talking about children's grief, and it may have to do with a parent,
mm-hmm.
how capable is the parent of counseling that child, and especially in the very early stages?
They are so bereaved themselves that oftentimes they just really don't have it. So in the story, the lion cub's dad just is so hurt and so wounded himself that he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so another adult, an elephant, comes into their life
mm-hmm.
and she's able to sit down there and be with them. Because that, you're right, Bill, that's a huge piece of the whole thing. Much as we want to be there for them and much as we know that they're in pain, we're in so much pain ourselves that we can't, we don't have it.
Right.
You know, to get, and that's why other adults are so important. I hope some of your friends or an uncle or a teacher or a counselor, a neighbor, grandma.
Well, unfortunately, in our particular case, we were in a new place. We just moved and there wasn't anyone around.
Yeah.
But when we come back, you know, I want to ask you a little bit more about the story itself and what events, experiences that you had that led you to write this specific story. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can, you know, go into depth about that. And I think you have some places where people can get this book, right?
Right.
All right. Do you have a website where you're going?
We
for
do.
This?
It's twobravecubs.com.
Okay. Twobravecubs.com. I'd also like to make a shout out to Marcy Adams, who is the illustrator of the book. Wonderful lady. I'm very much a fan of hers, and she's done some wonderful drawings in this book. She couldn't be here today because she suffered an accident a few weeks ago. But Marcy, if you're listening, we say hello to you. Mm-hmm. We wish you were here, and you're more than welcome to call in and talk about your experience in illustrating this book. When we come back, we'll hear Nancy talk a little bit more about the experience of that. We're glad to have you today here on KVC Hometown Radio News and Talk, 920 AM, 96.5, and we'll take your calls when we come back. Thank you. Welcome back to KVC News Talk, our hometown radio here. I hope you're having a good drive home now or pretty soon. A lot of people are leaving work a little bit earlier today to get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. And because we're running into the holiday season, we decided to make today's show. And by the way, thank you, Dave, for giving me the opportunity to guest host for you again. Dave is having a much-deserved break back east, I think, for his holiday season, and I'm grateful to be able to sit in. So, in today's show, we're talking about, in the beginning of the show, we're talking about dealing with grief and loss as you're entering into the holidays. But of course, you know, this topic is good any time of the year and is important any time of the year. And so we have today with us Nancy Ballinger, who's written a terrific book for children called Two Brave Cubs, and it's subtitled Finding Help When Children Grieve. And so Nancy, and by the way, it's illustrated by Marcy Adams and Julie Frankel. And Nancy, so how did this book come about? What prompted you to all of a sudden, all right, because you haven't written a book before, right?
No.
Is your first book.
Right, and I never expected to be an author.
Well, that's like one of those things I think most of us would like to have on our resume. Yeah, I wrote this book or this novel or something like that. Yeah. So tell me, how did it come about?
One day, about a year and a half ago, my dear friend Lena Thomas, who owns Coalesce Bookstore in Morro Bay, gave me a call, and she has already published a few books and through Coalesce Press. And so she asked me if I wanted to write a children's book, and I said, nope, I really don't have any interest. But 25 years ago, I wrote a story, and I wrote this story for a family that I was working with at hospice who had their mother die, and I would be very interested in sharing that with her. And so we got together, and when I read it to her, she said, this is it. This is the one we've got. We've got to print. This has to be available to other people. So she said, well, let's see if we can find someone to illustrate it. And I said, I worked with Marcy Adams, and I would love to see if she would possibly be interested in illustrating this book. So I read it to Marcy, and she said, oh, absolutely, she would be interested. And then we needed somebody to pull it all together, and so that's where Julie Frankel came in. And she's a graphic artist. And so the whole thing has been a work of love. The four of us just feel so strongly about that this book needs to be available to children and to their families and to everybody. We talk about being for cubs of all ages.
And so you said that you had an experience like this. So can you share the experience that was the genesis of this book?
So 25 years ago, when I worked for a hospice, I worked with a family who the grandmother called, and she said that her grandchildren, she was very worried about them, that their mother had died unexpectedly, and she didn't know what they knew, and the adults were all losing it. Nobody was talking to them. And so the children came in and saw me, and their mother had died from suicide. And the daughter did know. The children were 7 and 8 years old. And the daughter, but she had just heard it from adults talking. And the mother had been sick for a long time, and she'd been addicted to drugs and alcohol.
Mm.
And so as I worked with this family, they were just such a dear family, but they were just so wounded because of the years of their mom not being available and their dad doing the best he could, but he really wasn't available either. And so I decided the best way to do this would be to share a story with them. And I had looked for years and years for stories about children's grief and children's loss that I thought really dealt with real issues because of the various places that I knew the children needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I never found one. There were beautiful books, but it seemed like they didn't deal with the really real issues that mm-hmm. I saw children dealing with on a regular basis. And so I decided to just write a story for this family, and I decided to make it about lion cubs so that they could project onto it their story. And so it's the story of a family that lives on the African savanna, and the children are very brave and resourceful little cubs, but they don't think anybody loves them because they don't have their needs met. And then their mama dies from the sickness she had since they were babies. And then it goes through all the feelings that the cubs are feeling. So when I sat down and read it to the dad and the two children, at the end the little girl said, "That's just like our mama."
Mm.
And I knew that the healing was beginning. Yeah, that they had made that connection. So that's what makes this book so unique, is that they are lion cubs. They're not black or white. They're not rich or poor. They're not. They don't have to fit into any category.
So, in anthropomorphizing the cubs, it gives people of any race or economic situation to be able to relate to it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's very clever. And the illustrations are beautiful. Marcy did a great job. Marcy, if you're listening, we just think you did such a great job.
Mm.
So. You want to tell me really quickly where you can get this book one more time, and we got to go back to break one more time.
Sure. You can go to Coalesce Bookstore in Morro Bay. You can order online at twobravecubs.com. At Two Brave Cubs, we also have all kinds of resources there.
Well,
and Amazon.
Great, and we'll come back in just a few minutes back here to Hometown Radio KVEC News Talk 920 and 96.5 FM. Back to the Dave Congleton Show. This is Bill Ostrander. I'm filling in for Dave today as he takes a much-needed little and much-deserved break back to the East Coast. Because we are coming into the holidays, we thought that we would kind of bookend our show today with two ideas around that I think everybody's sensitive to around the holidays. They're emotional ideas. One of them has to do with grief and loss of somebody as you're coming into the holidays. Of course, it's a valuable subject at any time of the year, but it's particularly poignant, I think, now. And later in the show, we're going to be meeting with Dave Story and Bill McCarthy, and we're going to have a lot of fun, I think, hopefully, a humorous discussion about how to deal with the holidays and with family during these divisive times. These guys are a lot of fun, and I enjoy our banter. We have opposite positions on things, which makes for good conflict. But we love each other, and we're all happy to, go have a beer afterwards or whatever. But right now, I'm sitting with Nancy Ballinger, who wrote a book called Two Brave Cubs, which was illustrated by Marcy Adams and Julie Frankel. And the subtitle is Finding Help When Children Grieve. And in the back of the book, they synopsize the book by saying, this unique and beautifully illustrated book portrays the deep emotions of a child's grief after a mother's death. Told from the perspective of two lion cubs, their father, and an understanding elephant on this African savanna, Two Brave Cubs is ultimately a tale of hope and love. So you've given us a little bit of background on yourself and what motivated this and your experiences. Can you synopsize the book in a better way than maybe even in the back? Or would you like to tell us a little bit of the story, maybe even read a page or something like that?
Sure. What we tried to do, what I tried to do, and then what Marcy did so beautifully with the illustrations, is to really portray the feelings that children have when they lose a parent, or actually when they lose anybody. This book is written about losing a parent. But again, I wrote it so that it could be used with the loss of a grandparent, a teacher, because the whole purpose of a children's picture book like this is to elicit their feelings, to let them talk about how this is like their loss or how this is different than their loss. And so children can hear the cubs saying, who would take care of us, you know, when, now that mom's died? Well, they're worried, will papa die when he goes away hunting? Who will take care of us? Will we die too? You know, children have those feelings. And so for an adult to sit down with a child and be able to go through this book and say, that's kind of like when grandpa died, everybody was kind of wondering, well, who's going to cut the Thanksgiving turkey without papa, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the importance of a children's picture book like this is that children are able to look at it and then talk to an adult about it. It's really, really important. And we tried to, in the title, we had a long time thinking about what the title of the book needed to be. And we didn't want it just to say Two Brave Cubs, because we want people to know that this is really a book for adults to use with children. This isn't a book you buy for your grandchild and put under the Christmas tree. You need to, it needs to be approached with an adult so that they can go through and talk about the lives of the cubs and how that relates to the life of the child that they're reading the story with.
Well, I want to go back and touch on something quickly that we started in the beginning of the conversation when we talked about the fact that sometimes, you know, kids, because they're so resilient and they tend to suppress because I found this as an adult, you know, when if you're in a bad car accident, for example, and unfortunately, Marcy has been, I feel sad about that. But when we're in a car accident and you're in a wheelchair or if you've got, you know, a broken bone, you have a cast, everybody around you recognizes that. And most people empathetically will open a door, get you a drink, you know, do something to help you. But when you have an emotional break, most people don't know it or can't see it. So how would people necessarily recognize, you know, a child that's having these emotional difficulties?
So going back to the book, we can talk about the two, that Sasha and Tosh are our two cubs. And Sasha acts out, getting into fights, getting into all kinds of trouble at school with her babysitter. She gets in, and so she's acting out a lot. And that would be something, rather than being punished for acting out, somebody might sit down and talk about, help her find other ways, talk to her about it, or also just help her to find other ways to get rid of her energy. Let's go roller skating. Let's shoot baskets. You know, let's do something. And so, so one of the cubs is acting out. The other one is withdrawing. He's going in more and more and more within himself. And so that's another thing that we can see is that the children, like adults, just have a myriad of emotions. But adults have more ways. They have more understanding. They've had emotions maybe for 40 years or 50 years, and hopefully they've gotten some sort of a handle on, this is grief, or this, I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling sad, or whatever, I'm feeling guilty. In a lot of families, though, there's a rule. I grew up in a family, wonderful family. My family was, we don't do feelings.
No.
And a lot of families are like that. You know, we just kind of keep it to ourselves. And so that has a huge impact on children in general, and then on grieving children. If nobody is talking about a mama dying or papa leaving or whatever it is, if nobody's talking about that, that gives a real strong message to the children that it's not okay to talk about this. And so what are they going to do? We act it out. They act it out. Mm-hmm. But as children, they get in, people don't recognize that what they're doing is they're acting out their feelings, because they don't have the word. We don't have the words for it oftentimes, mm-hmm. but they really don't have the words for it, and they're afraid. They feel guilty. They wonder. They have magical thinking. They in the cup story, they wished that their mama and papa would go away so they could have good parents like the lions, like the zebras and monkeys.
Mm.
And so then when their mama does die, they feel like, wow, you know, was it because we wished she would go away mm-hmm. so we could have good parents? And so they really, truly, I mean, we all think, gosh, I wish I would have done this better. I wish I would have done that better. But young children really believe that they can cause these things to happen because of the, you know, their wishes or their thoughts that they would go away.
Do you feel the story is appropriate for children of what age?
I think it's appropriate for children of all ages. Our dedication is to young, is to brave cubs of all ages.
Okay.
So I've had adults read this, and their mom, two specific women I can think of immediately, their mom died when they were very young.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part of them that had never really forgiven their father because he really was never there for them. And mm-hmm. When they read this story, they realized that he couldn't be there for them, that he didn't have what it took.
Mm.
And so this book, I think, is relevant, and that's the feedback that I'm getting, is relevant for people of all ages. It's written specifically, I would say, for 5 to 10-year-olds.
So do you think that this is a book that's best read by the parent to the child?
Absolutely. Or if the child reads it, an adult needs to sit down with them. It's absolutely not a book just to say, oh, here's a book.
So in a sense, this is a very helpful tool for both parents and children mm-hmm. to find their common ground in an experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's written for clergy, for teachers, for counselors, for doctors, for anybody who loves children. Children are called the forgotten grievers, mm-hmm. and it's true because the adults are so caught up in what's going on with them, and because children don't express their grief the same way as adults, that adults either think they're doing fine or they're doing okay or they don't even know what happened. And so in the story, the adults are talking about it, the other animals are talking about it, and the cubs overhear that their mom has died.
Mm.
And that's kind of, and it's not because we don't love children, it's not because we don't care about them, it's that we just don't know how to help them. And so I think in that, even with adult grief, we don't know how to help someone, so maybe we know someone has had a loss, mm-hmm. and yet we don't want to say anything because we don't want to make them feel bad, we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens even more so with children
mm-hmm.
because we really love them but don't know how to help them. And so that's what this book is really written for. Is in many ways, it's more written for adults than for children.
Well, when you say that it's written for adults, is it written as an opportunity for them to use this as a tool, do you mean, or
right.
for recovery?
It's to be used as a tool. So there's many books written for adults about children's grief that are... many books written for adults about children's grief that are just how-tos, and it's, you know, I saw a book that had 435 pages about
that's a bit
how
much.
Adults get, yeah.
That's a bit much.
Right.
Well, we've got a call, and let's go to the call phone lines and see what they have to say. Hello.
We got Steve in San Luis.
Hi, Bill. My name is Steve. I'm in San Luis.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I just wanted to compliment your author, guest, on this. I had some traumatic personal experiences. Our oldest child passed away on Christmas Day, and another child passed away a couple days from Thanksgiving at another time. And this book
you've
has
had,
been very
sorry,
helpful because...
Steve, you've had two children that passed?
Yes, that's correct.
You know, buddy, my heart goes out to you. That just makes me cry just to think about that. I can't imagine.
It is. It's awful. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, no one can really understand how awful it is unless you're a parent of a deceased child.
Absolutely.
What is awkward is that we had several other children, and we were kind of having to take care of ourselves and to survive. I worked as an emergency physician and dealt with death on a regular basis, but not the death of my own children. And it's a completely different situation, of course. But I had to function, and my now ex-wife had to function, and it was just a pretty difficult time. I would have loved to have had a resource like this to help my other children as they coped with the loss of their sibling. So anyway, I appreciate the book, and I'm going to definitely get it, and even have my kids are now all adults, have my adult kids have it available to them. I think they'll find it useful also.
That's wonderful, Steve.
You know, Steve, first of all, I want to say thank you for calling and sharing that story. But secondly, it's a very small and unfortunate, sad club that we're in, those of us that have lost children.
Yes, indeed.
And my heart goes out to you, buddy. That is my worst nightmare.
I worked as an emergency physician, so I mean, the worst part of my job was to go out and tell a family that their loved one had died. And I have to compartmentalize that and put it inward and not, show emotion and still be able to function. And then you can't just do that with your own child, but then in a way you have to. It's complicated. I don't pretend to understand it.
Very difficult. So, well, do your kids have residue? I mean, can I ask about that? Are they
no? I think that they've done well. I have a strong religious faith in our family, and it's made a big difference because we believe strongly in eternal life, and that's given us comfort. But not all of my kids believe the same way, and not everyone believes the same way. But for me, that's been the saving grace is my religious belief in eternal life.
All right. Well, Steve, we really appreciate your call. Thank you very much. We're going to go to a break in a minute, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Nancy and her about her book, Two Brave Cubs, and how you can get it, and the fact that this book's gone international, right?
It sure has.
And that's fantastic. We're really glad to hear that. We're on the Dave Congleton radio show, Hometown Radio at KVEC News Talk, 920 AM and 96.5. I'm Bill Ostrander. We'll come back to us in just a minute. Welcome back to Hometown Radio, KVEC News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5. It's the Dave Congleton Show. I'm Bill Ostrander, filling in for Mr. Congleton. I'm very happy to be here today. We've been talking this hour with Nancy Ballinger, who's written a book on how children grieve. And we felt it was appropriate to maybe have a conversation around this because these kinds of relationships and sadness that attends the loss of somebody can be felt more poignantly sometimes during the holidays. So let's start with that, Nancy, as a lead-off question here in this last segment. How would you counsel or how would you talk to people about, as they're coming into the holidays for children that may be grieving?
I think it's different for every family. It's different for every loss. It depends on the relationship. Many, many, many things are involved. But just some basic things are acknowledging that the person isn't here this year and what are some ways that we could feel their presence here. So maybe making a special place at the table or putting a picture out or telling their favorite story. That's a really good one, is telling your favorite story about the person that isn't with us this Christmas. Again, it depends, or this Hanukkah or this Thanksgiving. It depends, again, on how long it's been. It depends on the family's comfort with talking about it. But
well, let me ask you, generalizing. Okay. If you were to generalize for a second, right?
Right.
Most people tend to try to suppress this stuff or push it away or distract, right? I see that all too often. I think a lot of people have, eating disorders because, somebody, the parent will say, how about some ice cream? Come watch TV or something like that to distract. Are you suggesting that it would be better, and I'm generalizing now, it's not for
right,
everybody,
right.
that they should honor, recognize, and talk about the person who's gone mm-hmm. in these moments? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe is it better, more appropriate on a quiet time or whenever they are bringing it up? Do you bring it up? How do you think you deal with that, you know, in these mm-hmm. sort of holiday season?
And again, it depends on the family rules and how things go. But what I would basically suggest is just sitting down one-on-one with a child and saying, is there anything you would like to do special this year to remember whoever that person is? And if they say, no, I don't think so, then that's okay. If they say, yeah, I'd like to draw a picture, and then just sit down with them and let them draw a picture. And want to get a special ornament, or do you want to say a special prayer? Do you want to sing a song?
Do you celebrate that person who's passed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, celebrate and remember them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so you've written this book, and now you're getting it out all over the place, I understand. You've got it going to Mexico because you have a Spanish version as well, right?
Right. Dos Leoncitos Valientes.
Nice.
Two brave cubs.
Yeah. Okay.
And how that's happening is it's starting out very locally, and people are sending the two that went to Mexico are a friend of mine has two sisters who are teachers in Mexico, so that's the beginning.
Okay.
Same thing with Canada. A friend of mine has a sister who is a teacher in Canada, and so the books are going up there. They're going across the United States, and so feel really strongly about starting here, but sending it out with that personal touch. And so that's what we're really encouraging people to do, is to get a copy for themselves and then get a copy for someone they know who is a therapist, is a counselor, is a nurse, is somebody who might really benefit by having this, because they work with children, and it might really benefit by having this. It's meant to support adults and supporting children.
And are the proceeds from this book going to where?
They are all going back. So we're not making any money on this. None of us. All the proceeds are going back into buying more books and distributing them. So, for example, at our website, you can order a book just for yourself. You can do that through Amazon. You can order a bunch of copies if you want to, and get a special rate on doing that, and specify the organization you'd like for them to go to. You can just make a contribution for an organization that doesn't have the finances. The books are $9.95, and so they're not very expensive, but
it's a very inexpensive investment.
Very inexpensive investment. But if you buy them, if you buy more, you know, in bulk, then it's a lower price. And then at our website, you can also request help to get copies. So your organization would love to have some of these copies, but you don't have the funding to do that. Because at our same website, you can go there and you can say, and we've already had people make donations, small donations, large donations, and actually their contributions, and we can hook them up.
So somebody that's in need but doesn't necessarily have the extra money this Christmas season would still be able to get out a book.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we would love that.
Well, you know, I can't think of a better gift to, you know, in the holiday season, rather than this continuous purchase of consumables, you know, that you could give somebody that actually is something that might give them a lifetime of help.
Absolutely. And I would like to, in case somebody is just starting to listening, that these books are really for adults to use with children. These are not books that we just buy and give to a child to sit and read. Now, adults or teenagers could certainly read them on their own, but for young children, it's a tool for adults to support children.
Yeah, so it's not that they couldn't read it; it's just that it really wouldn't be very effective,
exactly,
on its own.
It's
so
not
it really
I don't think they would enjoy very much.
Right.
Here's a book about your parents dying, and have fun.
Exactly.
So where? Tell us one more time where we can get these books.
TwoBraveCubs.com is our website, and it also just has so many resources for adults to use. You can go to Coles Bookstore in Morro Bay, a locally owned bookstore, or you can go to Amazon and just put in Two Brave Cubs.
Well, Nancy, it's been a pleasure. These illustrations by Marcy Adams and Julie Frankel are terrific. They're beautiful to look at, even if you don't want to invest in the story itself, or if that's not as poignant for you. But the but the illustrations are terrific. It's really nice of you to come in and share this with people today. Is there any last minute, last thoughts that you want to give?
I would especially like to thank Coalesce Press for starting this whole process and for making it available.
Well, and also because you guys are doing this as, you know, with, is it fair to say charity? I mean, is
it's all being donated. Yeah. We're not making any money off of it.
All right.
Any
well,
of us. Yeah.
Nancy, I want to say thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story and the wonderful book, Two Brave Cubs. Please find it at her website and then on Amazon, and come back to us after the hour. And we're going to have Dave Story and Bill McCarthy here. And we're going to talk about some fun stuff in the holidays. This is the Dave Congleton Show, Hometown Radio, KVEC News Talk, 920 AM and 96.5. We'll see you in a minute.